Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
I'm Jessica Harris, and welcome to my welcome table. Gather round this special table. It's scarred with memories, pitted with burn spots from hot skillets, and decorated with moisture rings from frosty glasses of lemonade, beer bottles, bourbon and ginger ale, and untold goblets of red wine. This table will be our flying carpet as we travel around the world. I'll share some of my secret spots. We'll meet new friends and reconnect with old ones. Sometimes, the table will be covered with fine Porthot linen and my mother's bone china, and we'll sup on caviar and champagne. Other times, we'll cover it with yesterday's news and hanker down for a crawfish boil or a lobster supper. Whatever the meal, by the end of our time together, we'll have shared some special friends, sacred spots, and the food, drink, and music that connects them. So come, join me at my welcome table.
Hi, my name's Mitzi Pratt, and I'm sitting at the welcome table.
I am Patrick Dunn, and I'm sitting at the welcome table.
My name is John Barkley, and I'm sitting at the welcome table.
My name is Anne McBride, and I'm sitting at the welcome table.
I'm Betty Fussell, and I, too, am sitting at the welcome table.
Compass Point, 16.24 degrees north, 61.5 degrees west. Pointe-à-Pitre. Guadeloupe.
La vagande douceur vient bercer mon cœur à la Guadeloupe.
For almost a decade, when August came around, I knew it was time to make my annual trek from Martha's Vineyard down to the Caribbean. Packing for this Caribbean trip took a bit more time than usual because I had to remember to include my Creole gold jewelry and bring the eyelet slips along with the business-related notes and other impedimenta that are constant in my life. First, there were meetings at Almond Resorts in Barbados where I consulted for more than a decade. Then, it was off to Guadeloupe for la Fête des Cuisinières. As the only American member of the Association des Cuisinières, I had to shine alongside my Guadeloupean sisters. The French expression être à l'auteur, which means, roughly, living up to someone or something, came vividly to mind. Guadeloupe's annual Fête des Cuisinières, or Feast of the Women Cooks, is like nothing else in the Caribbean region. A day-long celebration of the glories of French-style Caribbean Creole food. The day begins with a high mass at the Pointe-à-Pitre Cathedral with all of the members of the associations present of both the Association des Cuisinières and the Mutuelle Cuistot, two organizations that are guardians of Guadeloupians' culinary patrimony. The women, and they are mainly women, are dressed in full Creole finery made from the brilliantly colored fabric in the colors selected for the year. White eyelet slips, starched to a fare-thee-well, peek from under bird-of-paradise-hued dresses. It is de rigueur to wear abundant amounts of gold, and so bank vaults are opened and the assembly decks out in a queen's ransom of the classic French Creole jewelry forms. The chaîne forçat, or convict chain, in gold that the slave master gave his slave mistress. The grand d'or, or pearl-like golden balls that were worn when sumptuary laws forbade women of color from wearing real pearls. And the ropes and ropes of chou, the hand-wrought, striated beads that long ago were given to slave wet nurses upon an infant's birth. Then, the number of beads and the length of the necklace signaled the number of children that a nursemaid had raised. Now, they just show off how much money was spent. Hoop earrings called créoles and other brilliant 18-carat gold masterpieces of the jeweler's art with names like Nicolo and Pomme Cannelle hang heavily from earlobes, and fancifully tied Madras headscarves complete the festive outfits. Following the mass, the cuisinière and the crowd that inevitably gathers troop through the streets of Pointe-à-Pitre. The cuisinières carry baskets bedecked with miniature cooking implements and other symbols of the culinary arts. They also carry a statue of St. Lawrence, their patron. The grill that is the symbol of his martyrdom, hence his being their patron, is embroidered on the apron that is worn by all members of the two organizations. The parade, that becomes increasingly raucous with each passing block, ends at a schoolyard where the cooks, their guests, and those fortunate enough to have obtained tickets gather for lunch.
À la vanille,
anti-poche,
au cibo blanc,
anti-poche,
à la nana,
anti-poche.
As with most meals in Guadeloupe, lunch begins with ample rounds of the lime, rum, and sugar cocktail known as a tiponche. Preparing one of these at times can take on the intricacy of a Japanese tea ceremony. First, there's the sugar, just enough at the bottom of the glass. Then a squeeze or two of lime so that the juice moistens the sugar. Muddle it well with your teaspoon. Then add a full dose of rum, the wonderful French island rum, Rhum Agricole, that is perfumed with sugar cane and made from cane, not molasses, as are many rums from the other islands. With names like Damoiseau, Boulogne, Severin, and Montebello, they are too little known in the U.S., but they are great. Too much of the wonderful rum, and you've marked yourself as a drinker. Too little, and it's limeade. Get it just right, and voila. The first one is called a décollage, or takeoff, but one always hopes, and indeed prays, for a happy landing. Soon, the political speeches are over, and the rum has flowed, and it's off to the dance floor for an afternoon of dancing to the Beguine that was at home in Guadeloupe long before Cole Porter heard of it. As the day turns into early evening, the more elderly of the ladies head off. And the more elderly are no mere septuagenarians. Some of the members of the cuisinière clock in at 90-plus years old, and still they dance and sip their rum. Soon, the party is over, and it's time to head home to fix another tiponche and worry about where to go to dinner. That's never a real problem because my friend Maryse Bourchaud, with whom I stay, is a perfect source of information. We met more than 35 years ago when I wrote an advertorial called Sister to Sister for Essence magazine. In order to do it, I called women throughout the Caribbean to ask them about their favorite spots in their island homes. She had good advice then, and has good advice now. And with her, I've spent more than 3 decades exploring the butterfly-shaped country that is Guadeloupe.
Moi pas oublié, jour là moi t'es parti. Moi toujours songé, Guadeloupe mon bel pays. Et moi revini, après des ans passés. En Guadeloupe, pays si doux. Moi revini, goûter terre à vous. Et au pas changé, paradis bien apprécié. Bonjour Guadeloupe, mon île bien-aimée.
We've explored the natural tropical rainforest on the volcanic island of Basse-Terre and stopped for a meal at Chez Clara, one of the island's notable Creole restaurants. We've driven by the cemetery at Mornalo and watched the black and white tiled above-ground tombs that remind me of those in New Orleans. We've swum in the Caribbean and watched as fishermen brought in their catch to the market in downtown Pointe-à-Pitre. One of our favorite excursions was a trip to the small, neighboring island that is one of Guadeloupe's dependencies, Marie Galante. The tiny island of Marie Galante is not one that is on most Americans' holiday plans, or in that matter, on most Americans' radar. Located off the coast of Guadeloupe, it is a haul no matter how you arrive. It is one of those places that makes me muse about how folks arrived there in the first place and what it must have been like in the era before planes, fast boats, and wireless access. On Marie-Galante, though, there is ample evidence of what life must have been like in those days at a place called Habitation Murat. The Habitation Murat today is a museum and offers tours. But on the day that I went, business was slow, and so Marie's and I were free to roam about without others. Located on a bluff, overlooking the breakers of the sea, the Habitation Murat is a breathtaking reminder of the importance and the scope of sugar in the Caribbean. The great house was built in the early 19th century by Dominique Murat, who had arrived in the region from southwestern France in 1770. By 1839, it was the largest plantation in the dependency of Guadeloupe. Sitting on the green and brown grass of the mown lawn, under the brilliant red flamboyant trees that brighten the perimeter, I could sense that a storm was coming by the threatening clouds. No storm came that day. Perhaps I was only being haunted by the ghosts of the plantation that housed at its peak 209 slaves. As I sat on the limestone brick steps of the majestic great house, built like so many others in the grand Palladian style, the ghosts whispered in the rustling breeze. They told of the plantation's transformation over the more than two centuries it was in operation. They spoke of the oxen, like those lowing in the neighboring fields, that used to turn the wheels of the mill before innovation brought the windmill and eventually a steam mill. They told of the limbs lost to the crushers that ground the cane, leaving the juice to flow with a sweet smell that permeated the air at harvest time, when the mills ran day and night, and it was a rush to get in all of the cane. They spoke in the voices of the enslaved and recounted the boiling pans and the hot cane juice that scorched and burned, and of the lives that they had lived. The imposing mansion, magnificent, although roofless, is awe-inspiring, and it is one of the few complete sugar plantations that gives a real sense of the scale of operations. At the same time, the massive plant and its remote location made me wonder at the audacity that it had taken to even conceive of such a project, the arrogance that it had demanded of the architects of such a plan, and the labor required of those who built it. Today, the Habitation Murat is an abandoned money pit, a sad symbol of the island's once grandiose past. The history of Europe's rise and fall in the region can be read in the decrepitude of the great house. Once Marie-Galante was a booming sugar community dependent on the labor of its enslaved Africans. It exported the white granulated gold to Europe from wharves bustling with activity. Now, it's a backwater, beyond the back of nowhere. Now, there are only ghosts and cows and the distant crowing of a rooster. My historical musings, though, never last too long, even in the Caribbean. And on Marie-Galante, there were things to do, and rum to taste. The splendid white rum agricole, named for the French priest of the Dominican order, Father Jean-Baptiste Labat. Labat, or Père Labat, as he was better known, was a 17th century visitor to the French islands, and his six-volume memoir, published in 1722, is as informative as the rum that bears his name is tasty. The island of Marie-Galante is small, and the pleasures for the visitors center around beach walks, rum distillery tours, and trips to the lively market. So for me, after a night or two, it was time to return to Guadeloupe. There was dining to be done, as well as antique and book shopping, and perhaps a trip to Gonfier, my favorite couturier, who makes the fabulous robe créole that I love. Decades ago, my favorite dining spot on Guadeloupe was on a small Pointe-à-Pitre street. Run by a super talented Guadeloupian chef named Gérard Virginius, it was called La Canne à Sucre. Virginius was a master of innovation, and more than 25 years ago was serving dishes like fish in a savory chocolate sauce and vegetables perfumed with lemongrass. His cooking always was a startling mix of class and creativity. Ambitious, he hoped to garner one of the early Michelin stars to be given in the Caribbean region. But a move to a larger space in order to so do stressed his finances and his creativity, and so it was not to be. But I can never pass the old wooden Creole building in downtown Pointe-à-Pitre without my mouth watering at the memory of La Canne à Sucre and Gérard and his fabulous food. It seems that that block was just a locus for genius, for next door to Gérard's wonderful restaurant was Tim Tim, an antique store of heart-rending beauty. On my first trip, I browsed and bought, and was amazed when the wraith-like owner came out wearing a white lace Victorian dress and wafting a veil of vetiver. It was Simon Schwarzbart, one of the island's leading writers, whose books include Tigeant l'Horizon, translated in English as Between Two Worlds, and A Bridge of Beyond, in the original French Plié vent sur tel humain miracle, and Ton Beau Capitaine, a play which I later had the honor of translating as Your Handsome Captain. We too would become friends over the years, and on one memorable occasion even got into the kitchen together. Both shops, though, are unfortunately closed these days. But needless to say, I found other favorite restaurants and shops. As my stays grew more frequent, I continued to see Simon and Gérard and met other friends with Maryse and made some of my own.
Ma maman créole, tendre force de la nature. Ma maman créole, c'est de l'amour à l'état pur.
No friend has been a more wonderful guide in the world of Creole food than the woman I refer to as my maman Guadeloupe, octogenarian Carmelita Jeanne. A second-generation Creole chef and pillar of the cuisinière, she has taken me shopping in the markets of Pointe-à-Pitre and taught me how to buy everything from bunches of soup greens for stews and soups to just the right poudre de colombo, or curry powder with which to make a colombo de porc, the pork curry that is one of Guadeloupe's trademark dishes. A meal or two at her restaurant, Chez Carmelita, are a must. On one occasion, before I knew Marie's well, I even stayed in the small vacation village that she's created in Saint-Félix, around her restaurant. Marie's has also helped me to discover other eateries, including Chez Violetta, and colonial spots where you walk in the door and the clock is turned back to the 1960s, and small, local joints where specialties like acra de morue, codfish fritters, and blaf, a fish stew named for the sound the fish makes when it hits the poaching liquid, are served well lubricated with tiponche and rosé de Provence. One of my favorites of the newer spots is Ancanla, a Creole term that means in the cane fields, which is exactly where it's located. There, in an open-air spot that seems to gather many local folks and artists and not too many tourists, it's possible to dine on simple fare like grilled fish or grilled chicken. If you're lucky, on Sunday around noontime, there's old-fashioned homemade ice cream, peach or even tropical flavors. Some nights, it's even possible to see the African side of Guadeloupe if they're having a session of the traditional drumming known as Droka. Then, the spirited dancing and the intricate drumming make the night come alive with more ghosts, ghosts of the island's past that seem to live in the surrounding cane.
Adieu, foulard. Adieu, madras. Adieu, grand or. Adieu, collier, chou. Doudou, à moi.
As my time winds down, I make a run through the downtown main streets, gathering up books and French magazines. I head to the supermarket where they sell 2-liter boxes. Yes, I said boxes of rhum d'amoiseau that are easier to pack and that last and last and last. I also get a few cans of foie gras along with whatever else hits my eye. If I'm feeling flush, a trip to my favorite jeweler is called for in order to scoop up yet another handmade piece of Creole jewelry. Then, all too soon, it's time to head off to the airport, where I reluctantly board the plane, knowing that when August comes around, each year, I'll hear the beat of the Beguine, think of my maman Guadeloupe, and maybe be on a plane to Pointe-à-Pitre. If not, I'll haul out one of my Creole dresses, hang my Creole earrings from my earlobes, make a tiponche, and crank up the music on the box to celebrate one of my favorite places that really knows how to eat and how to celebrate the women cooks who have made their cuisine world famous. So, until next time.
Keep on killing good and greasy when I'm gone, gone, gone. Keep on killing good and greasy when I'm gone. Keep on killing good and greasy.